Morning to you. No prizes for guessing that the theme for this morning is Father's Day. One little boy was asked to define Father's Day, and he said, well, it's quite a lot like Mother's Day, only you don't have to spend so much on the present. Which, you know, is sort of a fair summary, I feel. But in keeping with the whole theme, I thought what we could do this morning is we should spend a little bit of time looking at what it means to be a dad. As we heard in the interview with Matt, the role of fathering has never been more critical than it is today. And as a result, we've got to have an understanding as men as what's expected of us. What does it mean to be a dad? And what I want to do is to spend a little bit of time this morning just unpacking two or three principles from Scripture about the role of a father and what that entails. Because as Matt again mentioned, that men and women parent differently. Even children from a very young age understand that mums and dads operate slightly differently. Now, let's start with the basics. Men are different to women. You know, there's obvious physical differences. The plumbing is different, isn't it? But it doesn't end there. The way that women think is different to men. So it's not just the plumbing, but it's the wiring that's different too. And even young children will understand this. I was at the dinner table the other day with my children, and sort of in preparation for this, I thought I'd do a little bit of research. And so I said to my kids, kids, how do you think mummies are different to daddies? And I went round all four of my children in turn. The first one, I said, how do you think mums are different to dads? And he said, well, mums cook nicer food. fair comment. And he said, but dads play better with us. Yeah. I went round to the next child. The next child said, in answer to the question, how are mums different to dads? She said to me, well, mums, to be honest, they give great hugs. But dads are good at bundling, which I thought was brilliant. And round to my third child, and he said, mums are slightly more patient, to be honest. But dads are funnier. And then we went round to my fourth child, Zachary, who's just five. And I said to him, Zachary, how are mummies and daddies different? How are daddies different to the way mummy operates? And he thought for a moment and he said, daddies are hairier than mummies. Which, you know, this out of the mouths of babes, you know, there's some profound message in there. So the point is that even my children, with the possible exception of Zachary, realize that mums and dads parent differently. So what are the differences? How should dads operate as fathers? What is our role in society and in our families today? Well, I just want to pull out, like I said, two or three things. The first thing I want to pull out from the Bible, and the Bible has loads to say on the subject of parenting, far more than we could do this morning. But the first thing I want to pull out is that I believe men have a particular role in training and equipping children. Proverbs 4, verse 1, I think I've got it coming up on the screen behind me, says this, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight." In other words, there's this expectation that children will learn something from a father's instruction. And I believe that dads have a special role, a particular role, in believing in their children's abilities. Perhaps even believing in their children's abilities when the children themselves don't believe they can do something. Often the desire with a mum will be to protect their child from harm at all costs. Whereas I believe fathers have a role in helping their children learn how to negotiate risk, how to handle slightly riskier situations. And often that revolves around skills. So my role as a dad is how to teach my children to ride a bike or use a penknife or light a bonfire or climb a tree without mum noticing. All these sort of different skills are my responsibility. The list goes on and on as to the role and the contribution that we have to make in giving our children confidence in the area of skills. But it doesn't end there. Some of the training needs to be very particular and deliberate, particularly around the area of values. Proverbs 22 says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." There are lifelong lessons, dads, that we have to teach our children. We need to teach our children to defer gratification, so to put some things off for benefit in future. We need to teach them lessons about honesty. We need to teach them what real love is. We need to teach them how to handle money and the facts of life. Because, of course, if we fail to teach them our values, then our children will still learn, except they'll learn from the advertisers, and they'll learn from the music lyrics, and they'll learn from the older kid in the playground. I believe every life lesson I teach my child saves them from a more painful lesson later on in life. But, of course, the main way that we train our kids is simply as living as an example to them. After all, that's how we learnt as kids, wasn't it? We just copy our parents. Like it or not, we copy them. Don't believe me? Picture this scene. When your child's misbehaving, how many of us parents have caught ourselves using the same lines that our mum or dad used with us when we were naughty? I've got on the screen here the top five parents' cliches that come out from time to time. See if you can figure out which ones they'll be. Number five is this. You may have heard yourself saying this once or twice. While you live under my roof, you'll obey my rules. I started saying that when my kids were age two, I think. Yeah. Number four is this. How many times do I have to tell you? Number three, said with a sense of urgency and possibly anger, is this one. Don't make me come up there. Number three, you say this very slowly as you're trying to keep a lid on your temper. You say this. Now, I'm going to count to three. I still remember vividly the first time I said that. I thought, oh, it's the echoes there of my own childhood. I wonder if you can guess what number one is. What's the number one? What do you think? Because I... Here we go. Everyone's favourite. Number one, because I said so. You've got to love it, haven't you? You've got to love it. Sooner or later, that one will be wheeled out. We copy our parents, and the deal is this. Our children will copy us. So it's worth bearing in mind, dads, that most of the training we do will be unconscious. So, for example, my boys are learning all the time about how to treat women from the way that I relate to Emma, my wife. They'll learn the good and the bad. I remember some time ago, we were due to have a finance team meeting in my house, and I was under pressure to get some figures done for the meeting. And I found myself hurrying the kids along and shouting at them unfairly. Why? Because I wanted to look organized and professional for the meeting that were about to happen. And I was running out of time. In that moment, appearing to be together and organized and professional was more important to me than being a loving, patient dad. Why? Because I was more concerned about my reputation with the adults than I was about my example to my children. Our children are always watching us. And so therefore, the more I can deal with the internal struggles that I have, the more I can deal with my own brokenness, my desire to please people or to put the right image across, the more I can deal with that junk, then the better father I'll become. The more I operate out of who God has made me to be, the more my family will flourish. Our children are learning far more from who we are than what we say. Can I encourage you, dads? The best way to train your kids is to work on the kind of man that you're becoming, to fully live out who God has made you to be. So that's the first thing. I believe dads have a vital role in training and equipping their children. The second quality that the Bible talks about that I want to highlight is this, is about men possessing steadfastness. 1 Timothy 6, Paul writes, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, and he says this, "Man of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness." To be a steadfast dad means to be solid. It means to be unwavering. I believe it means to be a constant force for good in your child's life. Studies have shown, like Matt illustrated, that simply by a father being on the scene, it changes a child's future. They're less likely to get involved in drugs or crime or early sexual activity. They're less likely to suffer from eating disorders and all kinds of life-controlling habits simply by a dad being there for them. Now, sadly, dads can't always be in the domestic home. There are different circumstances. But that doesn't mean to say that you can't be there on the end of a phone or writing letters or making the most of the time that you do have with your children.
My dad isn't here this morning because he has taken my mum away for the weekend to celebrate their 47th wedding anniversary. And what they're doing is they're staying down in London and they're touring around, visiting all the old haunts they used to go to whilst they were dating. I know. I have a feeling that most of them will have been knocked down, but never mind. It's a romantic gesture nonetheless. My dad has been a steadfast presence in my life right the way through. By working a job, sometimes very menial jobs, whether it's building maintenance type things, or he had one job just repairing broken hoovers, vacuum cleaners, to try and provide for the family. He has worked all his life to provide for us and loved my mum. I can't tell you what a difference that makes. It places security right at the heart of the family. It's powerful, guys. And as I've become a man with children of my own, he's kept on rooting for me and supporting me. Dads with grown children, bear in mind that your adult kids still need you. I would say to you, spread encouragement to them liberally and frequently. But shy away from giving unsolicited advice. Wait for them to come to you, and then it'll be all ears to learn from your wisdom. I guess I'm asking all the dads in this room, will you be that constant, unrelenting force for good in your children's life? I've heard it said that the kitchen is the heart of a happy home. I don't know if that's true. I think the unswerving, benevolent leadership of a good man is the very core of a family. And of course, that steadfastness isn't just about being there. It goes way beyond being physically present, because obviously it's possible to be physically present but emotionally absent somewhere else. Let me try and illustrate. I'm the proud owner of an iPhone 4. Thank you very much. I firmly believe that the iPhone is part of God's bountiful blessing upon mankind. It's true. I'm sure it's in the Bible somewhere. I've got everything on this phone. I've got my diary, I've got my emails, I've got books, I've got the all-important Fruit Ninja game on my phone. I could spend hours with this phone. I could go away for the weekend with my phone and be perfectly happy. But the risk is that my children grow up and say, well, I never really knew my dad because he spent all his time staring at a 3-inch screen. That is the last thing that I want for my children. Dads, when you're with your children, are you really with them? Are you engaged with them in every kind of regard? If you're to be emotionally present with your children, you need to know what they're into, what they're interested in, not just dragging them along to whatever it is you want to do. I have 3 young boys, and as a consequence of this, wanting to be involved in their lives, be emotionally connected with them, it's important that I understand what they're into. Physically, we all live in Bedford. But really, my boys live in a galaxy far, far away. As a result, I need to know the difference between my Sith Lords and my Jedis and my Stormtroopers and my Rebels. And occasionally, I'll sit down and I'll spend some time, you know, playing the video games with them. I played the Lego Star Wars with my kids the other day. Thank you very much. Another fan in the house. And I was quite chuffed with myself because I scored 30,000 points. And I turned to my 8-year-old Nathan and I said to him, 30,000 points, Dad did pretty well, didn't I? And he said, to be honest, Dad, not really. And then he thought for a moment, he said, well, I guess you did okay for your age. What can you do, really? I've got a 10-year-old daughter. And it's easier for me to connect with the guy stuff. It's a little bit harder. I have to work harder with the girl stuff, but it's just as important. So as she's been growing up, it's been important that I know about High School Musical. It's been important that I sit through High School Musical 1, 2, and 3. Please, dear Lord, don't let them make a 4. But it's vital. It's important that they know that I am interested in them. Dads, your kids need you to be emotionally present. I heard one sobering story this week. It's about a boy who went up to his dad, who was sat at the kitchen table working on his laptop with a spreadsheet open. And the boy wanders up to him and says to his dad, he says, "Dad, how much do you earn an hour?" And the dad keeps tapping away, and then a couple of moments later looks up and says, "Oh, I don't know, £15 an hour," and shoos the boy away. A couple of moments later, the boy comes back with his piggy bank, and he empties it on the kitchen table and starts putting up stacks of tens and two pences. And the dad keeps beavering away and then gets distracted by his kid again. He says, "Look, son, what are you doing? Can't you see I'm trying to concentrate on this?" And the son turns to him and says, "Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. I was just figuring out if I could afford to buy an hour of your time." And I found that sobering to hear that. I think what my kids do to just spend an hour with their dad of uninterrupted, devoted time to them. Dads, be available, present, emotionally present with your kids. That's the second area. We've got to be steadfast in every regard. The third and final thing I just want to pull out from Scripture is that dads play a vital role in affirming their children. Matt alluded to this during the interview. Proverbs 18 says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." The words we use, men, are powerful. Matt told me earlier this week about Dawn French, the comedian, and so I looked up her story in her autobiography, and she describes the night how as a young teenager she was going to go out to her very first school disco, and we all know what some of those can be like. And she writes this, "Before she left, her dad sat her down for a talk which would transform her life." She writes, "He told me that I was uncommonly beautiful, that I was the most precious thing in his life, and that he prized me above all else. He told me that I should be proud of myself physically, and that I was going to be desirable to all the boys that I met that night. He succeeded in making my self-esteem so high that I wasn't going to let any boy kiss me that night. I was just too good for them." Our words will either fortify or tear down the fragile souls in our care. We must put into words the way that we feel about our children, difficult though that may be, because that will be incredibly meaningful to them. Maybe even sit down and write a letter to your child today, just describing some of the way you feel about them at this age for them to open at a later date. I've done that occasionally, to be honest, too infrequently in my life, but I know that my children will treasure forever those words that I'm saying to them. A friend of mine used to say to his son at night when he was young, as he was putting him to bed, he used to say to his boy, "You are so special to me. And if for some reason I ever lost you, here's what I would do. I would gather together all of the boys your age in the world, and I would put them in a long line. And then I would walk along the line until I found you. And then I would pick you up and carry you home." Powerful words. I've got to be honest with you, the first time I heard that, the practical side of my brain kicked in. And I thought, how on earth are you going to achieve this? Getting all the boys in the world to stand in a long line. I've got four kids. I can't get them to stand in a line for love nor money. Let alone millions of children. But you get the point. He communicated value. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How will you use your tongue? How will you use your tongue to affirm your children today? So that's just three things. Looking at our role as trainers, our role is to be steadfast in the family and to affirm our children. Dads, we have a crucial role to play. Not just biological dads, but any of us who is a dad to someone. We're there to train and instruct, to build security through our steadfastness and affirm through our words. But just as we close, it's worth acknowledging that's the theory, at least. Of course, the reality is that each of us as dads have made failings. We've got shortcomings. We've done things that we regret, said things that we regret. We've lost our rag with our children or not had time for them in the way that we would have wished. And equally too, not only have we made mistakes, but others have made mistakes with us. Some of us carry around the wounds from fathers who, to be honest, were less than we needed them to be. So we've got this problem. We all need fathers who will instruct us on how to do life, to be dependable and to affirm us in the way that we need. But no one, let's be honest, matches up with that. What's the answer to this problem? The answer, of course, is found in the heart of God. Of all the names of God in the Bible, you know, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Great High Priest. Do you know what the most frequent term is to use to describe God in the Gospels? It's the term Father. Jesus describes this God as the perfect Father. To be honest, I don't know where you're at in your journey towards God this morning. Whether you've known him for many years or you've just walked into your first ever church meeting. But I do know this. If we're on a journey towards God, then the destination is knowing a perfect Father. That is what he's like. He is everything that you need him to be. He has done everything necessary for you to come into relationship with him. He can deal with the mess, the junk, the selfishness, the sin in your life. Wash you clean, and you can know what it is to have a father that you always dreamt you'd have. That's what we've been designed to do, to enjoy relationship with him. Let me close by saying our role as dads is vital. But in essence, we merely act as imperfect signposts pointing towards a perfect Heavenly Father who promises to never give up on us, to never let us down, and to never fail us. That's the kind of Father that we need and the kind of Father that is available to us.